chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest my dab in the middle of it. Rest my dab in the middle. We are rest my dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness, we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off with a clip by Greg Reese talking about the banks and usury, which at one time the Bible prohibited. And then we're going to put up a second Greg Reese clip about edible vaccines. Are they going to introduce vaccines into our food supply? But here we go with Greg Reese talking about banks.
All three of the Abrahamic religions teach that lending to the poor is an act of compassion that serves the entire community, and therefore charging interest was seen as immoral. It was called usury and was considered a heinous crime. The Roman Empire allowed usury, but in 1179, the Catholic Church decreed that usury was forbidden. This law did not apply to Jews. While the Torah admonishes usury, Talmudic law allows a Jew to practice usury with a non-Jew, and so money lending became primarily a Jewish business. Over the years, usury became more accepted in Western society, and we've changed the definition with the addendum of charging interest at an excessive rate. In the 17th century, the Bank of England began issuing paper fiat money. This gave the banks the ability to simply print money out of thin air. And for over a century, this was rightfully called out as fraud, until it became public policy, known now as fractional reserve banking. What was once seen as immoral is now seen as normal. Many assume that the financial loans given out by the banks are coming from savings they hold for their depositors, but this is not true. When someone takes out a loan, the bank creates new money out of thin air and then charges the person interest to borrow it. Fractional reserve banking allows the banks to legally create 10 times the amount of each deposit. This inflating of the circulating currency devalues that currency and allows the banks an opportunity to profit dramatically. The Federal Reserve Act of 1913 began a system of debt designed to inflate beyond its means until it implodes, the exact opposite of sound money. The banking cartel funded both sides of World War I, which led to the Great Depression, which led to the Emergency Banking Act of 1933, which ended the gold standard and made every dollar spent an IOU to further increase the debt, which is ultimately owed by the American people. The banking cartel funded both sides of World War II, which led to the Bretton Woods monetary system, which made the USD the world reserve currency and gave central banks the option to go straight to the gold window of the US Treasury to exchange US dollars for physical gold. But by endlessly creating more debt, it became clear that the US had printed far beyond their gold reserves. And when several nations came to collect their gold, the federal government dishonorably closed the gold window. To maintain world reserve currency status, the U.S. turned to its military, guns for hire to Saudi Arabia in return for the petrodollar, and war with any nation who threatens USD dominance. A Ponzi scheme is an investment fraud that pays existing investors with funds collected from new investors. And that's what the bankers created. They profit exponentially off the people's debt. It was designed to collapse, and that's what it's doing now. All the markets are crashing, and the derivatives market alone is in the quadrillions, which is much more than the total financial assets of the entire world. There is nothing left to prop up the dollar. This Ponzi scheme is at its end. What that means is that the money you have in the banks will disappear. Everything will go to zero, and then we reset. How we do that will ultimately be up to the people. The banking cartel knows that the only way they can survive this collapse is to somehow convert everyone to an authoritarian CBDC. But without the people's trust, the banks will have problems with this. Many people will lose everything and will want nothing but justice from the old banking system. But many others will comply. Hard times are coming fast, and if we were smart, we'd prepare. Let the big banks die and create a banking system that serves we the people. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Quite insightful, wasn't it? But next is another danger that's raising its ugly head, and that would be edible vaccines. Are they going to start introducing into our milk products and into our meat products a vaccination process of some kind, mRNA of some kind? Boy, this is a hideous thing. They've already done some preliminary studies to indicate that it is viable possibility. So here we go with Greg Reed talking about edible vaccines.
The genetic editing of plants to contain edible vaccines is well underway. Work is being done with bananas, potatoes, tomatoes, lettuce, rice, wheat, soybeans, and corn. Companies like Medicago are using gene editing to turn plants into mini bioreactors.
Medicago's manufacturing facility looks like a nursery, but inside these plants, they're growing a new kind of vaccine. The technology is called a virus-like particle.
At Medicago, we use a careful step-by-step process to develop vaccines, using our plants as mini bioreactors. We start with the gene sequence or code of a virus. We then use our technology to synthesize the virus code into a real biological product. The code contains genetic instructions that our plants can read, and we insert it into bacteria called Agrobacterium tumefaciens. We submerge the plants in a bath with the bacteria that carries the information into the plant cells. And using a vacuum, we suck out the air between the plant cells and replace it with the liquid. The plants absorb it like a sponge. At the end of their bacterial bath, we return our plants to a carefully controlled greenhouse to let them get on with their natural growing business for at least 4 days. Now the plants will start producing the most important ingredient of our vaccines, virus-like particles.
Gene editing is now officially in our meat industry. Lobbyists for the cattlemen and pork associations in several states have confirmed that they will be using the mRNA COVID vaccines on their livestock. Attorney Tom Renz has been warning that there is no law requiring anyone to give informed consent for vaccine food. There are no laws requiring anyone to tell you the food you are buying has been vaxxed with the spike protein clot shot. The UK recently passed into law the Genetic Technology Precision Breeding Bill. The bill amends the Environmental Protection Act of 1990 to exclude references to precision bred organisms so far as they relate to marketing. Precision bred organism is another term for gene edited. So now in the UK, food that's been gene edited can be legally marketed as non-GMO. And if this UK gene-edited meat makes its way to America, it can be labeled non-GMO here as well. And so long as it's butchered in America, it can be labeled product of USA. The fake alternative meat being pushed by Bill Gates and others is made of immortal cell lines. In other words, cancerous tumor cells. Real meat is being blamed for climate change. And a recent independent study suggests that most of our meat is already contaminated. Using infrared spectroscopy and electron microscopy, Dr. Anna Maria Mialcia has been studying the blood of the vaxxed and the unvaxxed for over a year now. And at first, she was finding the same contamination in only the blood of the vaxxed, a contamination that she describes as ribbon-like structures, much like the mysterious blood clots being found by coroners. But lately, she's been finding these ribbon-like structures in the blood of the unvaxxed as well. By measuring the frequency of one of these mysterious rubbery blood clots, Dr. David Jenigan has developed a way of detecting the same frequency in the vaxxed. Recently, he's found this unique frequency in the meat being sold in his local grocery store and asked Dr. Mialcia to confirm his findings. Her microscopy showed that the blood samples taken from products in the grocery store were all contaminated with the similar ribbon-like structures found in the blood of the vaxxed. Most of the meat in the grocery store is from overseas, and if we want to eat uncontaminated meat, we'll have to start buying direct from farms in America that still produce all natural organic protein and take back control of our democidal government. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Boy, it's getting scary out there. Edible vaccines, you know. This week, a great talk was about the transgender, even what I mean, dynamics out here. And there were 9 states so far that have enacted laws prohibiting juveniles from having the ability to secure those kinds of gender changes, even with parental advice or permission. So my opinion is, until you're of age, adult age, I think we should prohibit any of these gender changes, because a young child is very impressionable and influential. I mean, they can be easily influenced, and they're not of the mindset and age to have good judgment about how they feel about being this, you know, sex, female or male or whatever. But I just don't think it's a good idea to get into that. And here we go with Glenn Beck coming across very strongly about this whole transgender, you could say, dynamic. Here we go with Glenn Beck.
Okay, so let's just look at a couple of stories here. Parents felt pressure from gender clinics to transition children. This is a new study that is out, published in the Washington Times. A newly released study found parents took their adolescent children to gender clinics, and they said they experienced pressure to agree to the transition process, and their children were worse off afterward, not better. This is really important. Somebody says you need to take your child to a gender dysphoria clinic. I say no. But, you know, maybe that's just the hate monger in me. Or the lover of truth, that gender is eternal. Okay, so I don't take my kid to the gender. These are parents that did, and then agreed to the treatment, coming out and saying, their kids were worse off afterwards. My kids did not get better. They got worse. Okay? So you're not coming in with, like, open up your scriptures now, and if you take them to the clinic, they'll be worse, not better. Okay? It's not that. It's parents who most likely, like every parent that's alive today, we didn't grow up with times like this. I mean, I remember my parents going, you know, we didn't grow up with television. And I'm like, Wilma and Fred Flintstone had a television. When were you a child? And life seemed different, but not entirely. I cannot relate to being a teenager today. I wouldn't want to be a teenager today. It's ugly. It's just ugly. The choices and the things that they face and the lack of truth and stability. So, of the 390 parents who said they had visited a gender clinic or specialist, 51% 51% said they felt pressured to transition their child socially or medically versus the 23% who said, no, I didn't feel that at all. 25 said, I'm unsure. I don't know. What's the right thing? Now, up in Canada, you're going to feel even more pressure. Canadian political party has introduced legislation that will create anti-free speech zones around drag shows and punish anyone caught making remarks deemed offensive. And who's going to be the judge of that? LGBT activists. And the government will come in and fine up to $25,000. Are you kidding me? I want to show you the press conference photo. Look at this, Stu, if you haven't seen it. This is the Canadian government in a serious non-Halloween press conference.
Oh, a lot of people are wearing masks. What do you mean it's not Halloween?
Yeah, it's crazy they're still wearing masks. You'll see the woman in black that kind of looks like a really scary Cher. That's a witch.
maybe the offspring of Cher and Elvira.
Yeah. She's an actual witch.
Okay.
And then you have drag artists and a child in front. And they're all there to say, hey, we're people like you.
Now, is that a wizard in the back there?
Yes, it is a wizard.
Okay.
It is
just
a wizard.
Just wanted to make sure I understood.
Yes.
Is there any Romulans?
No Romulans.
No Romulans.
No.
Why don't they include the Romulans in the LGBTQIA acronym?
Let me help you out on this. They this guy, John Dobby, goes as Crystal Quartz. And he says, people started showing up to all my events, screaming at parents and myself, saying that we were groomers, pedophiles, and a bunch of other homophobic slurs to make everyone feel unsafe to attend. These acts of intimidation have made our safe spaces feel unsafe. You'll notice, let me read this again, see if anything jumps out at you. They started showing up to all of my events, screaming at parents and myself, saying that they were groomers, pedophile, and a bunch of other homophobic slurs. Anything stand out in that?
Give me it one more time.
Then they started showing up at all of my events, screaming at parents and myself, saying that we were groomers, pedophiles, and a bunch of other homophobic slurs.
Well, parents?
Parents.
Yeah.
Sticks out there. Parents,
yeah.
Sticks out. Now, because I would imagine that your performances used to happen in clubs.
Right.
Where you wouldn't classify the audience as parents.
Right, because how would anyone know?
Correct, if you're
a
parent or not.
Unless, perhaps children were present.
Were present. Mm. Huh. Now, the CBC just ran this really great article where they say that, look, back in World War II, they say every military group had a drag performer. Now, I miss that in my World War II history, but I'm not saying it didn't happen either. I don't know. I mean, I've seen South Pacific, and that's about as far as I can do to relate. But, you know, they had my favorite Martian in the coconut bra. Okay, so I get it, I guess. But again, no one is arguing about trans performers. You're in the military. You're doing a trans thing. Okay. Whatever. I don't want my military paying for it and everything else. But if it's like a, I don't know. I don't know. But that's for adults to figure out. Here's what the problem is. And these trans performers and all of the left that is whipping this up fail to appreciate. We're not talking about trans people. We are talking about our children. You do your thing. Okay, boo? We're going to do ours. And I live in a world where that's not healthy for children. How could you possibly say that? Well, I can possibly say that because I've looked at what's happening with gender care all over the world. We need to be more like Sweden. Okay, let's do that. Sweden led the progressive pack on transgender health care. They were the first country to allow people to change their legal gender back in 1972. In 2018, they proposed a law to reduce the minimum age for sex reassignment surgery from 18 to 15. Let 12-year-olds change their legal gender and ditch parent consent. What's happened since in Sweden? Well, in 2022, they decided to stop giving hormones to minors, except in extraordinarily rare cases. And they said, no more mastectomies on teen girls. That's Sweden. How about England? The Tavistock Child Gender Identity Clinic in London had 5,000 patient referrals in 2021. And so you know, before all this madness started, in 2011 it was 250. This caused some concern with their health service, their National Health Service. They hired a pediatrician to do a review. Long story short, they shut the place down. The NHS now has ditched affirming care, which sets the kids on the path of irreversible modifications. Okay? England, Sweden, how about France? February 2022, the French National Academy of Medicine issued a statement. A great medical caution must be taken in children and adolescents given the vulnerability, particularly psychological, of this population and the many undesirable effects and even serious complications that some of the available therapies can cause. They describe transgender identification among minors as an epidemic-like phenomena brought on by, among other things, overuse of social networks. They say that psychological support has to be prioritized over medical intervention, and we need to be very honest about the long-term health effects of these transition drugs and surgeries. That's France. Finland, one of the first countries to adopt the Dutch protocol, which is the process of treating gender dysphoria in minors with puberty blockers. Now they've changed their tune. A leading expert on pediatric gender medicine in Finland said 4 out of 5 teens who question their gender come to accept their bodies if they don't receive medical intervention. She even cautioned against using children's preferred pronouns, saying this is not a neutral act. Now Finland's Council for Choice in Healthcare describes medical transition for minors as experimental and has put a severe restriction on giving out hormones. That's Finland. Now what are we doing? Boston Children's Hospital director calls for drastic increase in capability for gender surgeries for minors. Washington Times, parents felt pressure from gender clinics to transition children, according to the study. HHS in all of its gender-affirming care. Their new report came out on March 31st on the Trans Day of Visibility. It says gender affirmation, including social transition, changing one's name, pronoun, and appearance, and gender-affirming medical care is appropriate and beneficial for many gender minority children and adolescents. Based on the individual child's or adolescent's needs, gender-affirming medical care may be medically necessary. Withholding gender-affirming medical care may be, when indicated, withholding support for gender-affirming exploratory process or withholding support of social transition when desired can be harmful. Goes on and on and on. Why are we so far behind these other countries that we have always had the left say we need to be more like? Why is it the United States is pushing this poison when the countries who were looking at it honestly have started it before us and now have gone like, okay, bad idea. And they are warning against it, and we're doubling down. Why is that, America? I will tell you, this country has gone dark. And if you don't stand up now, we will make the Nazis look like rookies. We will. We are a covenant nation who has offended our God. And that doesn't leave a vacuum. Something comes in and fills that space. There will be a God, said Nietzsche. And look what he said that as a warning to the Germans. Let me say the same thing. Who is your God? Your God is science. Your God is power. Your God is money. It's not going to end well. If you need the courage to just stand up for your children, nobody wants to look at it. Nobody wants to believe it's in your own neighborhood, but it is. It is. It's everywhere. And it's a poison to our children. Join the rest of the civilized world. And quite honestly, even the barbarians of the world. We in Canada are pretty much out on this limb by ourselves. And it's got to stop.
Next is a video that two psychiatrists did out of Colombia. And I'm going to, there was an interview, this was part of the program that Alex did. And I'm going to put up and embed that whole program that featured this clip of these two psychiatrists. But I'm just going to play a short clip of it, of what they're saying about their belief and support of these transgender operations and so forth, and treatments and so forth. And these are a couple of psychiatrists. But anyway, listen to what they have to say, and then come into my site, thesecrettruth.com, and you'll be able to click on the embedded interview of the whole interview and hear it all. But here's just a short clip of what these psychiatrists said.
In our clinic, one of the things that we emphasize is creating an affirming space where we respect and celebrate gender diversity and gender minorities. We know, especially in the case of youth who identify as transgender, gender non-binary, or gender non-conforming, that family acceptance is incredibly important. When we involve families in treatment...
So we're going to take your kids away from you. We're going to bully you to submit. If you don't submit, we've got bills introduced to take your children from you. You're in a cult. Don't ask questions. Affirm what we're doing. It's a psychological CIA, Tavistock, MI6 operation. You must submit right now or you're abusive. Just do it. I'm a loving woman. I'm going to invite your children in. It's so good what you're doing. We're such heroes. We're so liberal. This is not a Hellraiser nightmare. This is a loving woman. Listen to her. You are struggling. You are feeling bad. You are not wanting to cut your son's pee-pee off. Well, don't worry. We're a government institution.
Boy, I tell you, that is, gets awful crazy out here, doesn't it? Our next subject, we're going to play a clip. Joe Padden's out of WOAI San Antonio interviewed General Flynn, and we're going to play a short clip of that interview, but we're going to put up a click-off on our site, thesecrettruth.com, and you'll be able to go to Joe Padden's total interview with General Flynn, and General Flynn has some wonderful, straightforward, all-American things to say. So here we go with General Flynn.
The fact is, you're extremely busy. You made some time for me today, and I can't thank you enough for doing that. My audience loves when I have you on. I want to jump right into things. You wrote a great article about AI and what that is doing to our freedom and our country. I want to get into that in earnest in a moment, but I've got to start with the obvious. The man you used to work for, you got to get Trump. Everybody's got to get Trump. Doesn't matter that crime is up 300%. Doesn't matter that we were hiring Marxists to be the mayor in Chicago. We have to get Donald Trump. Well, did you see this coming, General?
Yeah, I mean, these people are going to try to destroy this country any way they can. It's going after the likes of me, going after the likes of those people that are still in jail, haven't been in front of a judge yet, that are because of the J6, you know, and I say it's nonsense sometimes, but it's also, you know, I think we're going to find, and we started to find out more and more about the setup, right? Maybe the whole thing was a setup by people in our own government.
Yes.
And then, of course, Donald Trump, right? I mean, it's just insane. I mean, it's been going on since at least 2015, okay? 2015 when Trump announced, and all the way in through his presidency. I mean, I'm part of that, and then they just keep going after him. I mean, I've read the filing, you know, the indictment. It's just so outrageous. And the one thing that I do know for certain, Joe, that President Trump is not about to give up, and they would love anything. They want to punish him, persecute him to the point where he just says, you know, screw this, I'm done. Somebody else take it because I'm done with it. And believe me, folks, to your audience, Donald Trump is not about to give up. And frankly, we don't want him to give up. All of us that love this country and love, you know, what we represent as a freedom loving nation, a constitutional republic. You know, we hate what we see going on with President Donald J. Trump, and we hate what we see going on up in Washington D.C. with the Uniparty, you know, that I talk about in this fifth generation warfare that we're involved in.
Right.
The Uniparty, the Rhinos, the Democrats, the lefties. I mean, you know, the Department of Justice, every single lever of power. So let me just take a step back. Every single lever of power right now seems to, it feels like it's controlled by really a small group of this sort of, I call them global elitists, right? Because there is a lot to that, and we can talk a little bit about that today as well. And I think we should, because people need to understand that. They need to hear it. They need to hear that consistent message that there is a group that of people out there. But this nonsense that they have attacked President Trump over, but I want people to understand that he'll fight through it. He's going to fight through it. He's going to, you know, it'll come out where it certainly defeats that. But they're going to do it in a way where it rides as part of the message, as part of this narrative for the next couple of years. And don't think for a second that some other person is not going to, you know, the special counsel Smith, the grand jury in Georgia. I mean, these people are all going to come out and go, we're going to indict them. We're going to indict them. You know, the proverbial, you can indict a ham sandwich. And so, and that's very clear. If you read the filing, you read this filing from this district attorney who's just an absolutely corrupt person.
Yeah.
You know, I read it and I'm like, oh my God, there's just these, you know, it's funny, but somebody said to me yesterday or the day before, they said, you know, if there was like only one or two charges, you'd kind of go, ooh, maybe they got something, right? But with 33 charges, and then it's ridiculous. You just know that all they're trying to do is they're trying to take the narrative that, you know, that orange man bad, and he can't be president of the United States. They're going to use every little bit of this. You're going to see in the campaign ads by whoever comes in on the left to run for president, you're going to see some of that stuff bubble back up. And frankly, the American people, Joe, your audience in particular, but the American people, we're done with it.
Yeah.
We've had enough of it. We've had it up to here, right? And we're sick of it. So now what we want is we want the truth, and the truth will rise to the top. People need to know that. I mean, you're speaking to a guy who was patient enough, you know, and knew that eventually the truth would come out, and it did. And I know that the truth will rise to the top. The truth will come out here. And the truth is that this country is going down the wrong path with this administration. I mean, we're talking about a path towards, you know, communism or worse, right?
And that was the problem. People like you and people like Donald Trump stopped that for a bit. Generalflynn.com. Generalflynn.com is the website. It's General Michael Flynn. I really appreciate you coming on. Check out his latest article, by the way, about AI and what it's doing to us. So, General, the reason why they did this, I'm assuming, and I'm pretty solid in this now, you can tell me if I'm wrong if you'd like, is because he dared stop what Barack Obama was doing. Hillary Clinton was supposed to finish what Barack Obama started, making us a global non-power, a global capitulated country. Well, we were going to be under the WEF. The globalists would control it, and these people that you're mentioning on the top would be the rulers, and that would be it. Donald Trump dared come in and say, well, wait a second. We're still exceptional. We still love this country. America first. Right. Make America great again. The Constitution means something. And that's really what tweaked them, isn't it? That he dared step out of line.
Yeah. You know, make America great again is the bumper sticker, and it is a great bumper sticker for America. America first is a governing philosophy. It is a philosophy where we say, look, we need to take care of our home first, right? Our home being the United States of America. We take care of our home first. We can do so many things for the rest of the world. I mean, we have enough energy that we can provide in this country for the rest of the world for 500 years.
Wow.
And I'm underestimating that, because I know just in coal reserves alone, we have that capability. So there's all kinds of things. You know, Rush Limbaugh about 3 years ago, he talked about where we were, and at the time, you know, I became very close to Rush. Actually, he helped me quite a bit as I was going through my persecution.
Right.
And one of the things that Rush talked about was this business about taking Americans away from the idea of America, and Trump was the guy that was, you know, he was sort of the figurehead of America First and Make America Great Again, but the American people were not about to give up on that idea of America first, right? And it's not Democrats and Republicans. There's really an ideology of the left, and it's a small ideology, small group that right now, you know, if I say they stole our elections, right? I mean, I still don't believe that the 2020 elections were fair. I don't. I just don't believe that. And actually, the majority of Americans agree with me on that for 2020, never mind 2022. So the idea of America first, the idea of make America great again, is an idea that the American people have. Donald Trump was the leader of that movement, is the leader of that movement, and he still has a good, you know, grasp of it. And frankly, it's going to grow. It's going to grow because, you know, the funny thing about Americans is we love the underdog. You know, when you think about Donald Trump, you say, there's no way he's an underdog. Yeah, he's an underdog. He's an underdog in the political, in the world of the uniparty, right? They look at him and they go, how dare this guy come into Washington, D.C. and win the presidency? I mean, it's the first time he ran for any kind of political office. You know, he's not the normal politician. The Republicans, okay, the Republicans, they hated Donald Trump as much as the Democrats because they were losing power. And so guys like me, I'm a political figure now, but I wasn't a politician at all coming in. I was just a guy that believed in our country. I knew things that needed to happen and needed to be done. And they take me out, right?
Yeah.
They take me out. And then, you know, then we go into the whole Russiagate, and now, fast forward to this past week's indictment. I mean, this is a continuation of the takeover of this country, and they're not going to do it because the American people are not about to give up on the idea of America.
Next is Jonathan Kahn, a rabbi out of New Jersey, that's talking about the reiteration, the return of these gods, these ancient gods of Babylon. Anyway, he says that the Supreme Court is providing a mechanism, platform for acting out the return of these gods. But here we go with Jonathan Kahn with a short clip.
Could the rulings of the United States Supreme Court actually be connected to an ancient Babylonian principality? And could this principality actually have determined not only the rulings of the Supreme Court, but the actual days on which they had to be handed down? This is Jonathan Kahn. In the Return of the Gods, I reveal the mystery of the ancient entities that are now returning to our world and affecting, moving through our culture. Well, this is a taste of that. I'll give you an example right now. The ancient entity called the Enchantress, the goddess, it says she turned men into women and women into men. She altered gender. She changed sexuality. she affected marriage. She had a particular time of special influence. She possessed a culture. It corresponded, as we saw, interesting, listen, to the month of June. Think about it. Altered sexuality, gender, month of June. But particularly the end of June, near the summer solstice. Now, there were three Supreme Court rulings that ultimately altered, transformed sexuality, gender, and marriage. The first was in 2003. It legalized altered sexuality. The second was in 2013, 10 years later, that struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. The third was in 2015. You remember it. It struck down marriage as we have known it, overturned it. Now listen. The first ruling that altered sexuality and marriage came down in June, the time of the goddess, the last days of June, the days of the goddess, near the time of the summer solstice, the time of the goddess, and on June 26th, the second ruling that altered sexuality and marriage came 10 years later, but also came in June, the time of the goddess, the last days of June, the days of the goddess, near the time of the summer solstice, and on the same exact day, June 26th. The third, the striking down of the historical definition of marriage, came also in June, came in the last days of June. The days of the goddess, near the summer solstice, and on the same exact day, June 26th. Here is the ancient spirit, the principality that alters gender, alters sexuality, undermines marriage. And here are the three major rulings that have revolutionized our culture, altered sexuality, overturned marriage, all took place in the same month, the same days, the same exact day, all linked to the ancient spirit that did exactly that. And the fact, as I share in The Return of the Gods, the book, that date, June 26th, is actually critical in the mystery of the return of the goddess. It's real. We are dealing with something very real, and there's an agenda. And we'll get more into it now. This is just a taste of the mystery that's revealed in full in the latest book I've written, The Return of the Gods.
I ordered his book yesterday and got it in on Amazon, The Return of the Gods, and it's a fascinating book. So go into Amazon and order his books. The last two things we're going to have, we have a Marine, okay, that was interviewed here, and boy, I tell you, these Marines, you can't beat them, and they're straightforward, and they tell it like it is, and I mean, you know, he's talking about Afghanistan. This Marine is, he had 8 deployments. He knows what he's talking about. So here we go with a Marine that knows this about Afghanistan. And John Kirby is making it like appear to the press and to the public that it was not disorganized. Here we go with this USAA Marine has to say about it.
Images like this show the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan in August 2021. This week, the Biden administration released its review of the exit, if you can call it that. They blame their predecessor and say it wasn't chaotic at all.
For all this talk of chaos, I just didn't see it. Not from my perch. At one point during the evacuation, there was an aircraft taking off full of people, Americans and Afghans alike, every 48 minutes. And not one single mission was missed. So I'm sorry, I just won't buy the whole argument of chaos.
Yeah, okay. Our next guest served 8 tours in Afghanistan and is the author of Saving Aziz, which details his personal rescue efforts during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. A personal hero, Chad Robichaud, joins us now. Chad, welcome to the show. Real quick, react to what Kirby said there about chaos. He didn't see it from his perch.
You know, I mean, when you got mothers throwing their babies over the wall to not become terrorists or not become a sex slave for the rest of their life, that is chaotic. When you have people getting their limbs cut off in the street, people getting executed in the street, when you have 13 of our service members die, when you have $80 billion, so to say, of equipment left behind, 1,000 Americans left behind, 80,000 of our allies left behind, and 20 million women and children being left to be sex slaves to the Taliban. I'd call that chaotic. But it's no shocker when the Biden administration or press secretary is lauding American people. But to have a former U.S. Navy admiral do so is a national tragedy. This guy, you know, John Kirby, doesn't represent the veteran community, and he's a long way from his oath to serve the people. Yes. Since he retired, he's had 7 jobs. Three were for the Obama administration, for President Obama. 3 were for President Biden. And he was also a military and diplomatic analyst for CNN. His loyalty is not to the American people. His loyalty is to protect the corrupt politicians of Washington, D.C. And, you know, a message to him is the American people are not stupid. We know what happened in August of 2021. And, you know, and he does, too. And it's a shame that that someone who served the military for 35 years would turn around and betray the American people this way.
Chad, I read this 12-page report, and I can't lie to you. I got bored reading it because I couldn't believe much of any of it. But in 12 pages, they try to summarize what went wrong. And if you read this, they would tell you that they had every contingency planned for months in advance. But if that were true, should there ever have been Saving Aziz? Should there ever have been organizations like yours, what Tim Kennedy was doing, what my buddy Seth John was doing? Should there ever have been a reason for civilians to go into Afghanistan to save people the government couldn't?
Absolutely not. Look, I'm very proud of the team that we put together and ultimately rescuing Aziz and 17,000 people. Very proud of that. But the truth is, we should never have done that. The United States military is more than capable of doing a NEO operation, the non-combatant evacuation operation, but the White House took that operation away from the military and gave it to the State Department, and Secretary Blinken created a scenario that cost American lives and cost the lives of innocent people in Afghanistan. This withdrawal was advised to the president not to do it by his generals, by his intelligence committee leaders, and he did it anyway. He did it for political reasons, and it cost lives. And now the world is a much more dangerous place because of it. They know it. This report is only being done to cover up the tracks of the White House and President Biden, and no one's buying it.
Chad, you're the absolute epitome of once a Marine, always a Marine. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to share the EGA with you. I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on.
God bless.
We're ending our program here in a few minutes with Jay Dyer. He's talking about the Committee of 300 by John Coleman, and he's talking about Gladio and all this other stuff that you need to know about. Anyway, we're going to end up to the exit music and then come in, and I'll put Jay Dyer's complete show up for you to watch, and you'll be able to see everything he said on this subject. So thank you very much, and God bless each and every one of you. And I wish you a wonderful Easter Sunday. And we need to bow down to Christ and to the church and to God. But thank you for listening, and good night.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Dave Mouse. We are talking about Gladio, and we're talking about how that's a pattern, a technique, a technology for disrupting social cohesion through false flags, through terror, through assassinations. And that was exactly what Gladio did throughout the Cold War. And we might think, well, yeah, but I mean, it was a Cold War, so, you know, you gotta fight the bad guys. But it's like, wait a minute, this is all running black market stuff. It's all funded by heroin, global heroin trade. Who's the bad guy? Well, we gotta do all that because the bad guys will do it. Okay, whatever. I mean, that's the thing, is that this whole world order was structured on drug money, money laundering, giant fake banks. And this model is what the CIA took from the older British model. Opium trade, right? Controlling the sea power, British Navy, these kinds of things. So the Anglo-American establishment just adopted that same older model of fiat banking, drug warfare, and that's exactly what explains where we are now. And now they want to seize and control the reins of tech. That's their key thing, because if we read in, Kissinger's World Order, it's absolutely imperative that we control the technology to create the transhumanist future. So basically, that's what Kissinger says. He says, whoever controls the tech will control and run the world in the future. In other words, technocracy. So I've been reading through other books about this, like Patrick Wood's book that he wrote with Professor Anthony Sutton, trilaterals over Washington, which is about how the same group, that's the same as this, the same group's not different, erecting a technocratic global government. That's the plan. Now, we're going through this step-by-step plan of Dr. Coleman. And the next one he says is that they will induce and create new cults. Well, that's something we've talked about for so many years. I wrote two books on all of these cults and how it plays out in Hollywood and right in all these movies. Go get my two books at my website. Go to the shop. You get signed copies, Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2. I wrote two whole books on this, and I'm working on a third book on that. Go get those at Jay's Analysis, the shop. And he says that these cults will be run by and promoted by a lot of the counterculture, right? Oh, yeah, let's get into the counterculture. Let's get into meditation, and then let's get into – and that, all that does is funnel people into all of these cults, which are run by this same power structure. Not every cult, but many of the cults, right? And this is why when we look at Jonestown, we see these odd patterns of, you know, CIA popping up there and mind control and all this kind of stuff at Jonestown and the shady background that Jim Jones has. So go to my YouTube channel. I just did an interview with a guy who wrote a big piece on the history of Jonestown, uncovering new information. That's on the top of my YouTube channel. Go watch that. We went really deep into that. And he says that we will build up the cult of aberrant versions of Christianity. He says that the establishment will promote aberrant versions of Christianity to change it, right, to move Christianity into the global government, along with the other groups that they control, such as the Muslim Brotherhood. He says that even at this time, that weird mind control cults like Muslim Brotherhood, like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, these kinds of things, he says that they are modeled like Jim Jones-style cults and like Son of Sam-type cults to create assassins, to create crazy patsies that will go out and do crazy things. Those are great breeding grounds for recruiting these creeps and weirdos and, you know, basically mentally deficient people who are in cults that are then unstable and manipulated into do radical actions or terror actions or assassinations, right? And we see the same thing with the recent shooting in Nashville, right? People who have mental problems, mental instability. I don't know if that person was in a cult, but you could say that the whole thing is basically a cult. I mean, essentially the whole normie world, the NPC world, is a giant cult. Just look at the last 3 years of COOF. Trust the science. Put your mask on. Take your mask off. Put it on. Take it off. Off, on, off, on, off, on. Take it off. Put it on. Put it on and take it off. Trust the science. Science. All right. What did Fauci do? Literally just gaslighting everybody every day. Changing it. Contradicting himself. That's cult mentality. Export liberation theology and liberation feminist movements across the world. Oh, we got to go in all these countries to help the women. Oh, we're there to help free the women from oppression. Meanwhile, this power structure is intent on destroying women and destroying their identity and destroying populations, destroying children, which is what women do. Women birth children. Now, that's a revolutionary statement, right? Like Brave New World says, that in the future you can't say women give birth to kids. But here we are. 16, collapse the existing world economies to engender political chaos and then to integrate it into this CBDC global fiat Fed coin. Now, he says that they would push this cashless stuff. He was writing this back in the 80s and 90s, so he was way ahead of time, right? Absolutely. Here we are, BIS, Fed coin, all coming now. Right? Bank for National Settlements, the giant triple chin dude said that we will have Fed coin and we'll shut your wallet off when you're a bad boy. Take control of domestic policies in the U.S., that is the CFR and the elite controlling all domestic policies, including at the state level, so they want to undermine the state firewall. Give full support to international bodies such as the UN, International Monetary Fund, BIS, and the World Court. And that's exactly what we saw in the last 3 years. Oh, we got to listen to the UN. The CDC is going to pass on and hand off. We just do whatever the UN tells us. And who tells them what to do? Oh, the Rockefeller Foundation, Bill Gates. So we do what they say. Why? Because they say so. Says who? Them. Why do we follow them? Because they say so. Penetrate and subvert all the governments. Now, this sounds, oh, that's conspiracy theory. That's so conspiratorial. How is Dr. Coleman saying that they plan to penetrate and subvert all the world governments? Oh, and what did Klaus say last year?
We will penetrate the cabinets of the world. We will penetrate them all. We will have our minions in all of the world's governments and parliaments.
And didn't he say,
we now already control most of the world's parliaments.
Remember, he said that. Hello? So this wasn't a conspiracy theory. This was a plan. Organize and control worldwide terror groups, including entities like Red Brigade, entities like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, right? All these crazed radical cult groups that then become terror groups. And that's exactly the purpose of Gladio. So now, remember, they didn't know the name of Gladio when this book was written. And yet Dr. Coleman talks about, for example, P2 being involved in the death of Grace Kelly, the actress, who married King Rainier, Prince Rainier of Monaco. And why did that? Well, Prince Rainier made the Illuminate Confirm mad because there was a dirty deal that went down in regard to P2 having in Gladio moving heroin into Monaco. And that was organized and run, according to Dr. Coleman, by Kissinger. And I guess Prince Rainier didn't do exactly what he was supposed to do. And so that's what, according to Dr. Coleman, led to the demise of Grace Kelly. Now, that's a theory, right? That's a theory. However, that this was going on in Monaco and that there was P2 and all this, that is not theory. In fact, one of the famous books that was considered wild conspiracy theory back in 1985 when it was written is the famous David Yowlett book, In God's Name, which is a book investigating the Vatican Bank, the P2, the CIA, and the suspicious death of Pope John Paul I, who was Pope for 33 days. And then he mysteriously died of what they call a heart attack, but appears to have been probably a poisoning. Now, what's interesting about this is that he talks about all these figures that, in his research, such as Opus Dei, such as the Bologna bombing, the involvement of these criminal organizations, and the only thing he leaves out is the name, because he wrote this prior to anyone knowing the name of Gladio. Well, it turns out that wasn't all conspiracy theory. It was true. PhD thesis, NATO secret armies. It's all true. It was called Gladio. Operation Gladio. That's what Dr. Coleman's talking about. They just didn't know the name of the operation. They had all the information. And then it turns out, yes, it was called Gladio. Now, we're not being run by right-wing Christians. Okay, this crazy conspiracy theory that, it's the right-wing Christians running everything. No. It's not right-wing Christians. It's technocrats above any of these kind of ideologies, and they use ideologies to control people.
Well, so there you go with J. Dyer. That's the end of our program, and we didn't have any more to put up. But go to his site, jdyer.com. And also come in here and we'll put up a click off and embed his program on our website also. And he did talk about Gladio. Gladio was a false flag operation set up in Europe, and they were very insidiously and very evil, and they were blamed on left-wing groups like the Red Brigade and so forth to make it appear that they had done these bombings and these terrorists. But it was to tension, you could say, the European countries to gain a greater ability to manage them. Just like 9/11 was a reiteration of a Pearl Harbor effect of the American public. So right after 9/11, then the public began to be more easily and more pliable in putting across the Patriot Act and all these other draconian measures which we are suffering under today that we absolutely do not need. But anyway, Easter Sunday is tomorrow, and I wish you a happy Easter. And I want to God bless each and every one of you, and stand up and talk about America being first again and doing the right thing for this country, and treating people with love and kindness and forgiveness. So good night. Thank you very much.